Hey, good afternoon. So today what I want to do is I want to discuss the sugya of kim ha-mitzvos prime to matan Torah, right? Did our avos and imaos keep mitzvos? And what does that look like before matan Torah? And what does that look like after matan Torah? Of course, it has an enormous amount of relevancy as we come to Kabbalah Satorah, as we come to the holiday of Shavuos. The source sheets are available online, and I will also be sharing my screen, which I will do right now, so that everyone can follow along. Here we go. Okay. So the topic of Avos keeping Torah is a very important one, because on the one hand, we have many psukim and many comments of Chazal specifically, which seem to indicate that our Avos did, in fact, keep Torah. So for example, let's get this up here. Okay, here we go. So for example, no, that's not what I want. Yeah, here we go. So for example, in Bereishis, we have right when the angels come to Avram Avinu, Pasuk says, Chapter 18, verse 6, Vayimahir Avram Oala El Sarah. Avram goes into the tent to Sarah. Vayomer, and what does he say? Mahari Shlosim Kemach Solas Lushi V'usi Mag Ugos. Right, go and bring me Usi V'asi Ugos. Excuse me, make me cakes. Says the Medrash on that. Why is he making cakes? Mau Omer Lushi V'asi. Right, what is that talking? Lushi V'asi. Says the Medrash, Va'asi ugos shahaya pesach. That the reason why Avram Avinu was asking Sarah to make this was specifically because it was Pesach. If you come to Bereishis, Yotes Gimel. Here we have, they come to stone. And what do you have? Vayivtzar ba'me'o vayasu'e lave vo'al beso. Vayas lahem, what does Lot make for the angels? Mishte umatzos afa vayochelu. He made them matzah. Says Rashi, why is he making matzah? Pesachaya, it was none other than Pesach, and therefore he is making matzos. What do we have a little bit later on in Bereishis when Yitzchak is telling what he thinks is Esav to go hunt for him and cook for him? He says to what is essentially Yaakov, he says, Lechna el atzon, v'kach li misham shnei gidiei izim tovim, make for me two choice kids, two choice goats, ve'asa osam matamim la'avicha kasher heiv, and make for me a delicious meal, the way that you know that I like it. Comes along Rashi again and quotes, why shnei gidiei izim? V'shi shnei gidiei izim haya ma'achal shi Yitzchak. Was Yitzchak such a brute? Was he such a hungry person? Was he so fat that he needed two goats? That's an enormous amount of food, says Rashi. Ela echad hikriv lepischo, rather, one was designated for his Korban Pesach, because again, it was none other than Pesach. So we have this notion, or this indication, that the Avos were keeping mitzvos. Avram Avinu, Yitzchak Avinu were both observing the holiday of Pesach, and we subsequently have other indications that they kept mitzvos. So for example, the Gemara in Kedushin, right over here, says, Matsinu, Sha'asa Avram Avinu es kola Torah kula, ad shelo nitna, that Avram Avinu kept the entire Torah before it was given. Shenamar, Ekev Asher Shema Avram Bekoli, Vaishmar Mishmarti, Mitzvosai, Chukosai, Vesorosai. Again, this notion that Avram Avinu had kept the entire Torah. We have the Gemara in Yoma, which also indicates this explicitly. Amar Rava, Vitema Ravashi, Rava, and some say it was Ravashi, Kiyem Avram Avinu Afilo Eruv Tavshilin. Avram kept even the mitzvah of Eruv Tavshilin, Shenemar, Toro Sai, even Eruv Tavshilin, by the way, which is not a mitzvah deraisa, but is a mitzvah midirabanan. And how do we know that he kept both mitzvahs deraisa and mitzvahs derabanan? Shenemar, Toro Sai, Torah in the plural. Achat Torah shebichsav, v'achat Torah shebalpeh. One Torah shebichsav and one Torah shebalpeh. So up until now, we have very clear indications of the notion that the Avos had kept Matan Torah, that the Avos were keeping, they were observing the Torah. Now that sounds very nice, that they weren't just keeping biblical mitzvos, but they were even keeping rabbinic mitzvos, Erev Tavshilin. Avram Avinu was even keeping Erev Tavshilin. The problem is that there are certain instances where we know that they did not keep the mitzvos. So, for example, if you look over here, the pasuk that we read just a few weeks ago in Vayikra says the following. First it says, let's start with the more obvious one. V'isha, pasuk 18, yudches, v'isha el achosa lo tikach, litzur legalos ervasa aleha bechaya. You're not allowed to marry sisters. Wait a second. Don't we know that Yaakov Avinu married sisters, Rachel and Leah? Isn't that a violation of an explicit pasuk in the Torah? And so if you tell me that Avram Avinu, the Yitzchak Avinu, they kept the mitzvahs, how can you now come along and tell me that Yaakov Avinu violated mitzvahs in the Torah? Isn't that a package deal? If you go a few psukim earlier, we have another shaila. Ervas achos avicha lo segale she'ar avicha hi, that you're not allowed to marry your father's sister, which is otherwise known as your aunt. How can that be? How can it be that that you can't marry your aunt? Don't we know what? Who marries their aunt? None other than Amram, who marries his aunt Yocheved, as we're told explicitly in a pasuk. And lastly, we know that Yaakov Avinu had built altars. He had built a bama. Isn't that an explicit violation of the pasuk in Shoftim, which says, Lo sakin lecha matzeva asher sane'a adonai lohecha, that you're not allowed to make a matzeva, you're not allowed to make a bama, you're not allowed to make a pillar at all. And so we have, I'm going to go back to screen sharing. And so we have clear indications that not only did the avos keep the mitzvos, but that they also violated certain mitzvos. And so how do you reconcile the two? How do you reconcile, on the one hand, the notion that Avram Avinu kept Kol HaTorah Kula according to the Gemara in Kedushin, that according to the Gemara in Yoma, he didn't just keep mitzvos aseh, but he kept mitzvos aseh derabanan. According to the psukim, Rashi's, Midrashim, Avram Avinu, Yitzchak Avinu, they kept Pesach, which in and of itself is a very strange idea if you think about it. How could Avram and Yitzchak have kept Pesach long before the Pesach story ever happened? And so that's a side question that we're not going to deal with right now. But nonetheless, we're left with this little conundrum. On the one hand, what does it look like that our avos kept mitzvos? On the other hand, if they kept mitzvos, how is it that we know explicitly that they violated certain of the mitzvos? What are we supposed to do with all of this? So I want to share with you four basic mahalchim, four basic approaches. How do we reconcile the whole notion that the avos kept the mitzvos? The first is, very famously, the Ramban, Nachmanides. He writes the following. Vehanira Eli, he asks all of these questions, and then he says in the conclusion, Vehanira Eli midas rabosenu, shalamad Avram avinu atorah kula beruach hakodesh, ve'esek ba uvetame mitzoseh v'sodoseh. Which is a nice way of saying as follows. Avram Avinu had Ruach HaKodesh, and that Ruach HaKodesh allowed him to understand the mitzvos, right? In other words, he was not commanded on a mitzvah, but he was given the Ruach HaKodesh to understand that this should be done, that X, Y, or Z should actually be performed. So what is the halachic status of him performing that mitzvah? This comes along the Ramban and says, V'shamar osa kula k'misha'enu mitzuvah v'osa. Right, he performs it as if he was not obligated to perform. And again, there was no Kabbalah Satorah. There was no official obligation for Avram Avinu to fulfill the mitzvah. But Hashem came to him, Beruach HaKodesh. Hashem gives him the mitzvah, the reasoning for the mitzvah. And even though Avram Avinu was not commanded to do the mitzvah, nonetheless, he performs it, Kami She'ena Mitzvah V'Ose. Okay? Therefore, says the Ramban, Ushmiraso osa haya ba'aretz bilvad. How do we get out of all of the conundrums that you and I had gotten into? Yaakov Avinu marrying two sisters, Amram marrying his aunt Yocheved. How did he get away with all this? So says the Ramban, no, his performance of mitzvos, the performance of mitzvos of our avos was limited to being performed in Eretz Yisrael. V'Yaakov b'chutz la'aretz nasa achayos. When did Yaakov Avinu marry both Rachel and Leah? It was in Chutz La'aretz. In fact, many of the Mefarshim point out that's why Rachel had to die before he came back in Eretz Yisrael, because he couldn't be married to two sisters when he was in Eretz Yisrael. When did Amram violate that mitzvah in the Torah of marrying his aunts? Says the Ramban, V'chein Amram, It was in Mitzrayim. It was not in Eretz Yisrael. So says the Ramban, there was a specific, special uniqueness to the land of Israel. It was there where Avram Avinu, where the Avos and the Imos get Ruach HaKodesh. It's there where they observe the Torah. Outside of Eretz Yisrael, they're not bound by the Torah at all. It's not even Kamisha Einu Metzuva Osa. It's nothing. And so therefore, Yaakov Avinu is able to marry two sisters outside of Eretz Yisrael. Amram is able to marry his aunt outside of Eretz Yisrael. There's a unique, special nature to Eretz Yisrael. So says the Ramban, that Avram Avinu, how does he know about the mitzvahs? He received them Ruach HaKodesh. What does he perform them? What's the halachic status of how he performs them? Kamisha Einu Metzuva Osa. He's not obligated to do it, but he does it on his own free will. And it's limited to Eretz Yisrael. And so that's how the Ramban gets out of so many of the challenges to the notion that the Avos performed mitzvos, but he also accommodates for the fact that Chazal clearly indicate that they did perform the mitzvah. Again, it was given by Ruach HaKodesh, it was Kamisha Einu Metzuva Osa, and it was only in the land of Israel. Now, this is important, and it's the Ramban Lishitaso. In other words, the Ramban oftentimes will develop this very notion that Eretz Yisrael is categorically better than other places on earth. Says the Ramban as follows. Let me blow it up a little bit more for everyone. Oh, no, that's a little bit. Here we go. Says the Ramban as follows. As soon as I get. Here we go. Ve'ashem hanichbad yisparach, hu Elohea Elohim ve'adoneha Adonim l'chol ha'olam. Yes, Hashem is here. Hashem is there. Hashem is truly everywhere. Right now, Hashem is the God of the entire world. Aval Eretz Yisrael emtza'us, hayishuv hi nachalas Hashem miyuchedes l'shmo. Lo nasan alek mina malachim katzir v'shoter u'moshel. In other words, there's a uniqueness to Eretz Yisrael where Hashem does not designate or place over it a captain, a ruler, or an officer, but Hashem, Eine Hashem Elokecha Tamidba, right? Hashem is always, his eyes, he doesn't designate it outward, but he wants to watch over it himself. You and I both know that if you love something uniquely, so you do not designate that out. That's your baby, only you. You care about it so much. It's a project that you take special interest to. You're not designated to someone else. You yourself want to watch over it. So that's what, says the Ramban, is Hashem's relationship with Eretz Yisrael. Hashem cares. He loves Eretz Yisrael so much. Of course he's the God over the whole world. But he, so to speak, designates it to certain angels. Eretz Yisrael, that's different. That only Hashem looks over. Because it's the place that was given over as an inheritance to the ones that he loves. Shenemar, ve'isem li tzgula mikol ha'amim, kili kol ha'aretz. Yes, kili kol ha'aretz. Yes, the land of Israel. All lands belong to Hashem. But because we are his chosen people, he wants a chosen land for us. Afal pisha kol ha'shem ha'nichbad, einatara ba'shlema ba'avur ha'mishorsim ha'moshlim ale, dot, dot, dot. So says the Ramban, what he elucidates when it comes to Kiyum HaMitzvos is really his shita, is really his opinion in totality, which states that there is a uniqueness to Eretz Yisrael that does not exist to other lands. And it makes sense. There's no whopper chiddush, as I would say, to what the Ramban is saying. We know, for example, that there are certain times that have more kedusha than other times, right? Shabbos is inherently more of a kadosh time than a Monday afternoon. Shavuos, Sukkot, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, right? These time periods have an inherent kedusha that doesn't exist the rest of the time. That's why we say in Havdalah, Hamavdeh ben Kodesh l'chol, ben Or l'choshech, ben Yisrael l'amim, ben Yom HaShvi'i l'Sheshet Yemei HaMaaseh. We acknowledge that different time periods have different levels of kedusha. All the Ramban is arguing is that what's true of time is true of place as well. Is Hashem exist everywhere in the world? Of course Hashem exists everywhere in the world. But there are certain places that are unique, that have unique kedusha, where Hashem has his eyes even that much more closely. And so the Ramban Lishitaso assumes that Eretz Yisrael is unique, and therefore it makes sense that Avram Avinu will only get that Ruach HaKodesh, that he'll only fulfill the mitzvos in Eretz Yisrael. So that's possible solution number one. Again, that Avram Avinu, how does he know about the mitzvahs? He gets them by Ruach HaKodesh. Where does he fulfill them? Only in Eretz Yisrael. And that gets us out of the problems of that we had introduced. How do you marry two sisters? How do you marry an aunt? The answer is those aren't in Eretz Yisrael. The Maharal comes along in his Gur Aryeh, and he approaches it a little bit differently. He says that the Avos kept the mitzvos aseh, but not mitzvos los aseh. And that is how he gets out of this conundrum. How can Yaakov Avinu marry two sisters? How can Amram marry his aunt Yocheved? The answer is those are mitzvos los aseh, things you're not allowed to do. Avos weren't bound by that. But mitzvos aseh, like Pesach, like Erev Tavshilin, whatever example you want, that specifically the Avos did observe. Now what we have to figure out is why mitzvos aseh and mitzvos los aseh might be a little bit different, right? I understand, Maharal, how that fits into some of the problems that we have been developing, but at the end of the day, how does that really help us? Says the Maharal the following, Ve'omer ani ki Avram haya miyuchad, lishmor kol haTorah. Avram was unique, he kept the entire Torah, v'lichfichach amru alav, the Gemara in Kedushin, kishmo kol haTorah kula, kishamar kol haTorah kula, excuse me, bavur shaya misuga lemitzvos haTorah. Right, Avram Avinu was unique. V'lachein Amram shenasa dodaso v'yako shnei achayos ki elohi mitzvos lo saseh v'im lo havi mitzvim ha mitzvos lo saseh lama yikaimu osam. Right, they were never commanded on mitzvos lo saseh. He says here v'ikara mitzvah shelo yavor ratzon aboris barach shasar alav. Right, the whole purpose is we don't want to violate something that Hashem commanded us. But v'chol zman shelo asar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But as long as Hashem never told us something was prohibited, again, we haven't had Matan Torah yet. We haven't explicitly been given the mitzvos yet. Eina ove ratzon boro yisbarach. Then you can't be violating something that Hashem tells you not to do if Hashem has not told you not to do it yet. So that's the Maharal, which I think helps you a little bit, but I also think it leaves you with a certain amount of questions. So option number three. And this comes to the Nefesh HaChaim. It's an Or HaChaim in the Torah as well. I happen to think the Nefesh HaChaim states it a little bit more explicitly, and so I will choose to share it with you from there. Reb Chaim Volozhin makes the following hypothesis. Every mitzvah, he writes, has two components to it. On the one hand, it's keeping the mitzvahs of Hashem. Hashem commands us to do something, and so we are obligated to do it. But says the Nefesh HaChaim, says the Or HaChaim Kabbalistically or metaphysically, there's another component to a mitzvah, which is that when you and I perform a mitzvah, it has a positive influence and a positive impact on the world and on the universe around us. That's why the Nefesh HaChaim points out why we have something called time zones. Because if we didn't have time zones, what would happen when you and I went to sleep at night is you would have the potential that no Torah would be learned in the world. That's impossible. Because if no Torah was being learned in the world, do you know what happened to the world? It would cease to exist. And so says the Nefesh HaChaim, that's why Hashem had to create time zones. So that when we're sleeping here in America, they're waking up in Israel or in China or in Australia, so that there's always some Torah that's being learned in the world. So says the Nefesh HaChaim, when you and I perform a mitzvah, we're causing cosmic impacts on the universe around us. Now, that's very nice. But on the other hand, if we're not commanded in the mitzvos, it also gives us a certain flexibility in the performance of mitzvos. And so here comes the Nefesh HaChaim and says the following. The Avos knew, they were intuitively aware of this cosmic impact of mitzvos Hashem. And therefore they understood that the world could not exist if there wasn't someone or a group of people who are observing and keeping the mitzvos Hashem who are learning Torah. It had to be. Because the world was only created for the observance and for the fulfillment of the Torah. And yet, because they weren't explicitly commanded in the Torah, there was also a certain level of flexibility in how they would observe the Torah. In other words, the Avos kept the entire Torah because they saw how their actions benefited the entire world. However, they also saw that at that time and in that place, certain things would have a negative impact. And because certain things would have a negative impact, they had the flexibility to decide how and when they would implement the Torah. Again, it wasn't as rigorous. There was no actual Torah given. Says the Nefesh HaChaim the following. V'lachein, therefore, k'sheigia Yaakov Avinu, alav ha-shalom, shelefi shoresh nishmaso yigrom tikunim gedolim bekochos alamos alyonim iyisa shtei achayos elu racha v'leah. Yaakov Avinu saw that there would be amazing things that would come out amazing things would happen if he married Rachel and Leah. Vehema yivnu shteyem es beis Yisrael, and through the two of them, literally they would build the Jewish people. Yaga kama yigias vavodos la'asigam sheinasu lo. Yaakov Avinu had to figure out a way that he would marry both Rachel and Leah. V'chein einyan ba'amram, shenasa yocheved dodaso sheyatsu min Moshe. Aaron and Miriam, Amram saw Beruach HaKodesh that great things would come if he married Yocheved, his aunt. And so therefore he had a certain amount of flexibility in the way he implemented the fulfillment of the Torah because it was not formally given. And therefore they were able to make accommodations. Yaakov Avinu saw that he had to marry two women in order to build the Jewish people. Amram saw that he had to marry his aunt Yocheved in order to perpetuate the Jewish people. And so he was allowed the flexibility to not keep certain mitzvahs. So again, there's a two-pronged attack of Rav Chaim Volozhin. There's a layer to Rav Chaim Volozhin. Layer number one says that the Avos saw the enormous universal cosmic impact of Kiyum HaTorah and Kiyum Mitzvos. And that's why they wanted to do it. On the other hand, because mitzvos weren't officially given, they also had flexibility in how they wanted to implement Kiyum HaTorah. And if they saw Beruach HaKodesh, that there was a need for them to violate certain quote-unquote averos, even though it wasn't avera at the time, they had that flexibility to do so. So it's a very Kabbalistic approach, which shouldn't surprise you when I say that it was given over from the Nefesh HaChaim or from the Or HaChaim. But it definitely gives you the... It accommodates both. It helps you understand how Avram Avinu kept the Torah, because Avram Avinu was so into it. He was so in line with the thinking of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he understood that there needed to be Torah learned. On the other hand, how do you understand that they violated certain averos? Because they were given certain flexibility. They were given a certain ability to bend the rules when they saw that necessary. So approach number one was the Ramban. Approach number two was the Maharal. Approach number three was the Nefesh HaChaim. Approach number four is Rav Yehuda Amital. And of course, as you notice, there's a lot of overlap between the two of them. In the truth, in my mind, at least humbly, the truth lies in a combination of a number of these approaches, right? We have the ability in the year 2020, 5780, to look at all these approaches and kind of blend them together. And to me, in my mind, that is what I do. Comes along Rav Amital and says the following, okay? He says, if we take this, start with line number one at the end. The Avos did not observe the mitzvos in the sense that we observe them. In other words, they did not put on tefillin, they did not shake the lulav, right? Avram Avinu did not keep Pesach before Pesach happened. That's an absurdity, says Rav Amital. It's a question you should have been jumping out of your computer screens at me and say, Moskowitz, how can you say that Avram Avinu kept Pesach? Didn't happen yet. The story of Yetzias Mitzrayim hadn't yet happened. Says Rav Amital, that's the point. They didn't observe mitzvos the way we observe mitzvos. They didn't put on tefillin. They didn't take a lulav. They didn't keep Pesach. But they understood and appreciated the underlying messages of the mitzvos. What is the underlying theme, for example, of saying Shema? It is twofold. First, the Shema proclaims Hashem's oneness. Secondly, it entails a recognition of Hashem's dominion over the world. The second theme can be seen from the fact that we cite this as part of Malchus. If so, what is the meaning of the claim that Yaakov Avinu was reciting Shema when he first saw Yosef? After all the years of not understanding Yosef's true faith, after all the suffering and hardship, right? In other words, how could Yaakov Avinu have said Shema when he sees Yosef? So the answer is that after so many years of hardship, Yaakov finally realizes that Hashem's hand had been guiding the process all along. He sees God's great role in providence, and his first reaction of seeing Yosef is to turn to Hashem in recognition and thanks. In other words, did he actually say the words of Shema? No, because the words of Shema don't come until we receive the Torah. But it means that what Shema represents, the underlying message of Shema, of course he says Shema. He declares and proclaims God's oneness. He shows his gratitude to Hashem in recognition and thanks, right? So did he actually say the words Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokim? No! But he understood what Shema represented. Says Rav Amital, this is a crucial lesson for us as well. This is a beautiful piece by Rav Amital. It was worth the price of admission for this alone. He says this is the crucial lesson for us as well. It is important to remember that mitzvos contain these underlying themes. In other words, a mitzvah is not simply a do's and don'ts. It's not a checklist. I take my lulav, I put down my lulav. No. There's a theme, there's a reason, there's a tameh ha-mitzvah beneath the reason why we perform the actual mitzvah. As the Rav said, there's a kima mitzvah and a maisa mitzvah. Right? So there's the maisa mitzvah, we pick up a lulav, but there's also the kima mitzvah. Why am I doing what I'm doing? Says Ramital, of course, after Har Sinai, we are obligated to observe the mitzvos in practice as well. Of course, we have to actually do mitzvos. But that does not come to negate these basic notions. Mitzvos need to be performed physically, but that does not mean that they should be performed mechanically. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were able to intuit these basic notions, which Chazal understood as being comparable to performing the mitzvos in the time that the Torah was given. Right? What does it mean Avram performed the mitzvah of Korban Pesach, that he kept Pesach? How could he have kept Pesach? Pesach didn't happen yet. No, it means he understood what Pesach represented. And he was able to appreciate Hashem and have a relationship with Hashem on that level. He gives an example here. Let me give you an example. Rashi comments that Avram observed Erev Tavshilin, which enables you to prepare from Yontif to Shabbos. What does that mean? Right, Avram kept Erev Tavshilin, it's a mitzvah derabanan, none of that happened yet. He says, I heard in the name of our cook that the underlying notion of Erev Tavshilin is the distinction between a lesser level of sanctity and a greater level of sanctity. Kedusha Chamura and Kedusha Chala. If so, Rashi is telling us that Avram was so sensitive to sanctity that he could sense the difference between varying levels of Kedusha. Now, Rav Amital says a beautiful idea. Throughout the generations, there have been detractors who claim that the only thing that is important is the message behind the mitzvos. And they have correspondingly downplayed the significance of the actual performance in the mitzvos. This was true of Christianity, right? Christians have no mitzvos. They have no obligations, right? It's all what you think, okay? In what sits in your kavana behind what you do, okay? We unequivocally reject this approach. However, says Rav Amital, in our battle to preserve mitzvah observance, we oftentimes go too far to the opposite extreme, emphasizing the performance of mitzvos to the exclusion of sensitivity to the underlying messages, right? We've gone so far to the opposite extreme where we become so careful about diktuk mitzvos that we sometimes forget to put a little neshama into it, to put a little bit of an understanding of why we're doing what it is that we're doing. Says Rav Amital, we need to bear in mind that proper performance of mitzvos integrates both of these aspects. So really a beautiful, magnificent comment of Rav Amital. Says Rav Amital, did the avos and imos keep the mitzvos? Yes, but no. Yes, they kept the mitzvos in the sense that they understood why you do the mitzvah, and they had a relationship with Hashem on that level, right? Think about the example of Erev Tavshilin. Avram Avinu didn't keep Erev Tavshilin. Erev Yontif, he wasn't sitting there with an egg and a piece of matzah. No, it meant that what Erev Tavshilin represented, Avram Avinu had. What Shema represented, Yaakov Avinu had. So this helps us in an enormous way, because don't read it in such a literal sense that the Avos kept the mitzvos. Don't be bothered by the fact that they violated Averos, because there was no mitzvah, there was no Avera. It meant that they were able to relate to Hashem in this regard. Okay, so I suggested for you here four different interpretations of what it means that the Avos kept mitzvos. Either the Ramban, that they understood it Beruach HaKodesh, but it was limited to Eretz Yisrael, or the Gur Ariyeh, that it was limited to mitzvos Aseh, not mitzvos Los Aseh, or the Nefesh HaChaim, which means that they understood how the world needed mitzvos. The world needed Torah, but because it wasn't really given yet, they had a lot of flexibility in how they wanted to implement it. And if they saw room where the world needed them to violate an Avera, they were given that license. Again, this was all prior to Matan Torah. You and I aren't given that license. We can't just say, you know what, the world needs Moskowitz to eat a cheeseburger. No, it doesn't work that way, obviously, right? That would be absurd. And lastly, this beautiful thing of Rav Amital, that they keep the Torah, yes, but did they not keep the Torah? Yes, right? In other words, they understood the underlying messages behind it. Okay, if that's the case, what relevance does the way the Avos kept the Torah have for us today? Right? Are we bound by the way in which the Avos kept the Torah? So here I take you to a very famous comment of the Rambam, which is found in the opening section of Hilchas Avelos. When the Kolel started, I think it was 6 years ago, 5 years ago maybe, this was the first thing you and I learned together. Not this sugya, but this Rambam. I taught Hilchas Avelos that first year. Says the Rambam, mitzvah saseh lizabel al krovim. It's a mitzvah saseh to mourn your loved ones. Ve'ein Avelos min haTorah, ela biyom echad bilvad, shehu yom hamisa v'yom hakvura. Says the Rambam, that de'oraisa, the only Avelos we have is one day, and it's only one day if the death and burial happen on the same day, which means that for most of us, we're not keeping Avelos de'oraisa. Okay? Now, says the Rambam, in a very uncharacteristic fashion, he says, I'll ask you a kasha on myself. I said that biblically, you only have to keep one day of Avelos. Wait a second. Don't we know the pasuk tells Vayechi Vayasla Aviv Avel Shivas Yamim that the Torah tells us that Yaakov's sons mourned him for 7 days? Wait a second. Isn't that proof that Avelos is 7 days, not one day? Comes along the Rambam with very, very, very famous words. Nitna Torah v'nischad shahalacha. That once the Torah was given, nischad shahalacha. Halacha becomes different. In other words, we do not care what the Avos did. We do not care how they performed the mitzvos. We do not care that the Shvatim observed Shiva for 7 days for Yaakov Avinu. It's irrelevant. Once the Torah comes, Nischad Shalacha, all we care about is what the Torah tells us. We do not care how Avram Avinu ate the Korban Pesach. We don't care. It's irrelevant to us. It means absolutely nothing to me. Nitna Torah, once Har Sinai came, holiday of Shavuos, Nischad Shalacha, Halacha becomes different, and that is all that I care about. The Rambam says this as well, very famously in Perish Mishnayos. Here the Rambam says, again, a very famous passage, he says, V'sim libcha, pay attention. Ala ikar agadol ha-nichla b'mishna azos, v'hu ma'asha amar, mi-sinai nesar, l'fisha atar reis al-adasha, ko ma'asha anu marchikim, o'osim ayom, everything you and I observe today, all 613 mitzvos, Einanu osim ela b'mitzvos HaKadosh Baruch Hu yedei Moshe Rabbeinu alav shalom. Why do we perform the mitzvah? What is the underlying foundational reason why you and I perform the mitzvah? It's because b'mitzvos HaKadosh Baruch Hu yedei Moshe Rabbeinu. It's because of one seminal moment in history, and that is that at Har Sinai, Hashem revealed himself to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu gave us the Torah. That's it. That's all I care about. I don't care what Avram did. I don't care what Yaakov did. I don't care what Yitzchak did. Irrelevant. All I care about when I sit down to take my lulav and esrog, when I sit down to blow shofar, whatever mitzvah you want to choose, there's one reason and one reason only. And that is that it was given over to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. Nitna Torah, nischad shahalacha. The only moment that matters in history is Kabbalah Satorah. That seminal, momentous, miraculous event where the infinite God revealed himself to finite man and gave us a playbook. That's the only reason I care, right? Lo she HaKadosh Baruch Hu amar zeh l'neviim shalafana. Kegon zeh, she'inanu ochlim, right? Eino mipnei she HaKadosh Baruch Hu also Noach. It has nothing to do with Noach and nothing to do with Avram. It's rather l'fisha Moshe asar aleinu. It's only because of Moshe Rabbeinu. That is it. B'mashet siva b'sinai shi'is kayim iser. That's the only thing that we care about. V'chmochein, and the more so he says, Einanu malim mimnei she'avram avinu alav ha'shalom ma'al atzmo. V'anshei beso. We don't do bris mila because Avram Avinu did bris mila. No. Right? Why do we do bris mila? Ela mimnei she'akadosh baruch hu siva osanu al yedei Moshe Rabbeinu shenimo. We do bris mila because Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu that we should do bris mila. So we have the Rambam in two different places, in Mishnah Torah and in his Perish Mishnayos, that tells us that what happens before Matan Torah is irrelevant. Torah is simply Matan Torah forward. The only reason you and I do a mitzvah is because God told Moshe Rabbeinu, he gave us the Torah, I don't care that Avram did it, I don't care that Yitzchak did it, I don't care that Yaakov did it. Now is that the case? Right? If that's the case, then the first 40 minutes of our shiur are entirely irrelevant. It's entirely irrelevant. If it's true, says the Rambam, that nitin Torah nischad shalacha, that all I care about is from the moment of Har Sinai, then what did Moskowitz need the first part of the shir for? Why is it important for us to know that the Avos kept the mitzvos? Why did Chazal go out of their way to highlight the fact that our Avos kept the mitzvos if we don't really care about that fact? So I want to share with you a comment of the Rav. It's found in Reb Bezdin's book, Reflections of the Rav. And he makes the following observation. He says, the reason why you and I keep mitzvos is for two reasons. Right? Reason number one is because Hashem told us to. Baruch atah Hashem, Elokeinu melech haolam, asher kidshanu b'mitzvosav, vitzivanu. God commanded me to do something, I have an obligation to do it. That is the reason why I perform a mitzvah. But says the Rav, there is a second component to our performance of mitzvahs, and that is our historical connection to our avos. He says the following. A religious Jew makes two commitments. One, to observe the mitzvahs of the Torah. And also, two, to identify with the historical destiny of his people. In other words, we both perform a mitzvah because God commanded us, but we also connect historically to the destiny, to the narrative, to the story of the Jewish people. Both require a leap of faith, which is impelled by the Ratzon Elyon, the sovereign unmotivated will, the essential I. Both may be regarded as chukim, because they involve considerable suspension of one's reason and are not based on practical considerations. So we perform mitzvahs for two reasons. Number one, because of Har Sinai, but number two, because we have a connection to Avram and Yitzchak and Yaakov. Which is greater, right? So the answer is, both are important, but by us knowing that the Avos kept mitzvahs, it allows us to connect to the common shared destiny by all Jews throughout all generations, right? Think about Kiddush, okay? Why do I make Kiddush? I make Kiddush because the Torah tells me I should make Kiddush, right? But when I pick up that Kiddush cup that may have been my grandfather's, may have been my great-grandfather's, may have been something that had survived the war, and I make Kiddush on that cup, I am connecting myself to generations of Jews. And there's a geschmack in that, right? There's a beauty in that. There's a component of my religious existence that relates uniquely to that. And so says the Rav in this comment of Reb Bezdin, why is it that we perform mitzvos? We do it for two reasons. We do it, one, because Hashem told us to. We do it, two, because ultimately, we want to connect ourselves to the historical narrative of the Jewish people. So we discussed here today the notion of kiyum mitzvos by the avos prior to Matan Torah. Right? What does it mean that our avos kept the Torah before Matan Torah? We saw examples where they did perform it. We saw examples where they seemed to have violated averus in the Torah, and we were left with a conundrum. We offered four suggestions. Number one is the Ramban, that the avos had mitzvos because of Ruach HaKodesh, but it was limited to Eretz Yisrael. And that's how the Ramban gets out of all of those issues. Number two, we saw the Maharal, they kept the mitzvahs aseh, but not the mitzvahs los aseh. Number three, we saw the Nefesh HaChaim, that the Avos knew that the world needed mitzvahs in Torah because of the cosmic, universal impact of it. But because mitzvahs hadn't yet been given, there was a certain flexibility. And when Yaakov saw that he needed to marry two sisters, and when Amram saw that he needed to marry his aunt, there was a certain level of flexibility that was given over to them. Number four, we saw Rav Amital, that beautiful idea, that they didn't really keep the Torah. It means that they kept the underlying message of the Torah. If that's the case, right, what relevance does that have to us nowadays? Says the Rambam, not a lot. Those beautiful words, nitna Torah nischad shahalacha, that the reason why you and I perform mitzvahs is not because Avram did. I don't have a bris milah because Avram had a bris milah. I have a bris milah because Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu that I should have a bris milah. And if that's the case, we said, then why do we need? Why did Chazal bend over backwards to tell us about the Avos keeping the Torah to give us that historical connection to our Avos and our Imos, to give us that common shared destiny, to know that we're not the first people in a person in a link of a chain, but that we're parts of a link of a chain going back all the way to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, that gives us a certain energy in our Kiyum HaMitzvos. And so with that, perhaps we have a greater appreciation, not just for our Avos and our Imos, but also for Kabbalah Satorah, what it represents in our evolution as a Jew, as we come to celebrating Shavuos in just over a week.